welcome to episode 33 of the Burning Bush Podcast, where we share the message of the Bible while enjoying a good cigar. Thanks for taking a few minutes this week to listen to the podcast, and hope everybody's doing well. This week, I am smoking the Cuesta Rey Centenario Maduro Dominican number 60, 6x50. So let me go ahead and go on over to the website and give you the details. The Cuesta Rey Centenario combines history and exceptional taste to form an ultra-smooth, creamy, mild to medium-bodied premium cigar. Once the official cigar of Spanish King Alfonso XIII, this is a cigar for the enthusiast accustomed to only the finest of imported, handmade cigars. Meticulously hand-rolled in the Dominican Republic by the prestigious Tabacalera E. Fuente, the Centenario is wrapped in a light Connecticut shade natural or dark Connecticut broadleaf Maduro to provide a smooth and creamy taste. Filled with Cuban seed filler, each cigar is aged inside a specially designed cedar holding room for up to 5 years. After five levels of quality control and over a century of expert artistry, those that pass all criteria are adorned with the Cuesta Rey Centenario band. And as I said before, the wrapper is it comes in either Connecticut shade or Connecticut broadleaf Maduro, and I'm smoking the Maduro. Binder and filler are both Dominican, and they're rolled at the Fuente factory. It's given a 90 rating by Cigar Aficionado and a 91 by Cigar Journal. And the vitolas are the Aristocrat, 7.25x48, Pyramid number 9, 6.25x52, Dominican number 60, 6x50, Dominican number 5, 5.5x43, Tuscany, aluminum tube, 5x50, and the Robusto number 7, 4.5x50. So that is the Cuesta Rey Centenario, and like I said, I'm smoking the Maduro in the Toro size, which is the Dominican number 60, 6x50. And rolled by the Fuente factory and distributed by J.C. Newman, which is the website that I have linked up. It's actually the J.C. Newman website, and then they have a special section for the Cuesta Rey cigars. So check them out. They're a really tasty cigar. Kind of a, not a budget cigar, but kind of a nice mid-range price. I get a box of 10 on foxcigar.com for $69. So around $7 a piece, which is not bad for, especially for the quality of these cigars. Really, really good smoke, nice flavors, and just a little bit of spicy, which I like. But I'd highly recommend you check these out. So let's go ahead and get back into What Does God Want by Dr. Mike Heiser. We're starting chapter 9 today, and it's entitled, What Does a Disciple Do? It might surprise you, but Jesus didn't command his disciples to do that many things. His vision for loving God and others wasn't complicated, but the things he did command them to do are profound and life-changing when put into practice. We'll start with the most important point of being a disciple. Disciples love God, their neighbor, and each other. We already know how Jesus summed up a life dedicated to God. The greatest commands were, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22:36-40. Jesus did these things. He told his disciples, "I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." John 14:31. How did Jesus show he loved God, his Father? He obeyed God. He fulfilled God's plan for him. He also told them, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." John 15:9. Jesus asked his disciples to do the same, as his comments on the two greatest commandments make clear. Jesus went further by using himself as an example. He told his disciples to love each other as he had loved them. When they did that, they'd be obeying him and pleasing God. He said to them, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." John 15:13-17. "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13:34-35. Love for God and love for each other are, according to Jesus, the fundamental, indispensable marks of his disciples. Jesus did not see these two commands as in any way contradictory. They were not in tension. They were two sides of the same coin. They were inseparable. But how do we love people? The highest expression is giving one's life. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." John 15:13. This is what Jesus did for us. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:7-8. Short of this ultimate expression, I can't think of a better description than 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. It pretty much says all that needs to be said. Here are the characteristics of love from that passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. Love is not resentful. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. You'll typically see points in this list on cards at Valentine's Day or romantic swag. That's fine. We ought to love our spouse or that person we hope might become our spouse. But 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 isn't really about romance. This is the way we should treat people in general. Whether they recognize it as love is irrelevant. God will see and know. Some of those statements need to be read in context of other statements in the list. For example, "love believes all things" must be balanced with "love rejoices in truth." We cannot isolate "love believes all things" to conclude love believes false or evil teaching. In like manner, "love hopes all things" doesn't refer to hoping for evil against someone. But in general, the list is easy to understand and a daily challenge to live out. One more point before moving on. It's crucial to realize that basically everything that follows in what discipleship means extends from this first command of Jesus. As I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13, 34 through 35. Loving each other, loving people, is the central point of orientation for the other things disciples do: pray, fast, give, fellowship, etc. All these other things are expressions of this fundamental command. And that'll do it for the first section of chapter 9 in What Does God Want by Dr. Mike Heiser. So I hope you'll, again, as I say every week, check out the show notes for links to all Mike's stuff, his books, his Naked Bible podcast, his Awakening School of Theology, and please keep him in prayer. As I've said a couple of times, he was diagnosed a few weeks back, or a couple of months back, with pancreatic cancer, so we're praying for him, and we would appreciate it if you'd do the same. And check out groundworksministries.com, the links to that for daily Bible study and devotions, and also the Burning Bush Podcast merchandise store to pick up some Burning Bush Podcast swag. So until next week, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.